Bad Radio, and it's the top of the hour, and we've got on the telephone line Captain Fred. Are you there, Fred?
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Is the archive going?
Yeah.
Okay, Berkeley Liberation Radio is being evicted. Can you introduce yourself so we get the... So we get the audio levels right, and then you can talk about what's going on with the eviction.
Yeah, okay, yeah, my name's DJ Captain Fred, and I'm one of the four people who started up the station in 1999, and it's been a struggle to keep it going this long, but somehow we always managed to find a way to keep doing what we do, and that is we broadcast 24/7 at 104.1 FM in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay, so we're hearing you have an eviction notice.
Yeah, there was a letter slipped under the door by our landlord at the beginning of May, and I took a peek at the letter because I had a pretty good idea what it was going to say ahead of time, and it said that he wants us out by the end of June. And at first we were in a panic because we thought he wanted us out by the end of May, and that would have been really impossible. But the end of June is, you know, that gives us at least a few more weeks to try and pull it together here.
So 6 weeks to broadcast for sure, and then we've got to find a location. I think with commercial property, it's just 30-day notification and you're out. There's no right to your building or anything like that. So I think a commercial lessee can just be evicted. There doesn't have to be any procedures. Is that what the case is?
Right. Well, rent control and the eviction control in Oakland is kind of a joke, even for apartment dwellers. But for people who rent commercial spaces, it's you have no rights at all. So, yeah, basically, he's being a nice guy by giving us, you know, almost 2 months' notice. But, yeah, we got to go.
Yeah, so time to go. What's that issue is, I mean, businesses get evicted all the time. People get evicted. It's hard to find places around here, but it's extra hard with micro radio because of the legal issues that go on, this quasi-legal, illegal status that we're haggling about. So talk about what the unique difficulties are for a micro radio station to try to get up and find another location.
Okay, well, here's the way I put it to our landlord when I first met up with him. Basically, what we're renting is a band practice room, and we have, like, rock bands right next door to us. And what I told him is, I said, we have about 30 to 40 people who come in at all hours of the day and night. They talk loud. They play weird music. Also, we'll need access to the roof so we can put our 30-foot antenna up and our broadcast antenna. And by the way, we don't have any license to do this. We're a pirate radio. And, you know, and that's it. And I explained it all to him very clearly just so he'd know what he was getting into. And he said, cool. He was, you know, he wanted to support it. And he was cool with everything as I explained it to him. And so we moved in about 3.5 years ago. And, you know, since then, one of the problems is there's a phenomenon called near-field interference, and that is basically our transmitter and our antenna are right at the studio, and what happens is right in the immediate area around the transmitting antenna, there is interference. So, for instance, we're at 104.1 FM. If somebody was trying to listen to 104.5, and they were, like, within a block of that antenna, they might have trouble. Same thing with 103.7. They might encounter this near-field interference. And also what we heard is that some of the music equipment, like guitar amps and stuff, are also picking up our radio signal, and they don't want to.
Okay. Why don't you give the listeners who aren't that close to your station's history a little rundown of what's been going on with micro radio in Berkeley and this station, and give you a little chance to talk about what's really good and unique to listen to on the station also.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've got a lot of really interesting programs. The first one I'd like to mention would be Slave Revolt Radio, which we run on Friday evenings at 6:30, and which is also picked up on the Internet. And if somebody does a Google search for Slave Revolt Radio, that'll take them to this amazing weblog page that this fellow has put up, and includes MP3s of all the shows that have been done for at least, I think there's like a couple years worth of them up there. And this is one of the programs that sort of carried over from Free Radio Berkeley, which that was a station we started broadcasting live 24/7 in February of 1995, and we had a pretty good run until June of 1998 when this federal restraining order came down and basically barred our station founder, Stephen Dunifer, from broadcasting. Now, it also mentioned, it said, and folks acting in concert with Stephen Dunifer, but basically the rest of us were sort of unindicted co-conspirators. Stephen was the only one who was really named in the injunction. But so we had a big meeting about what we were going to do, and we decided it would be advantageous to lay quiet for a while. So June of 1998, Free Radio Berkeley went off the air. We stayed quiet for about a year, and then in the summer of 1999, there was a situation where the workers at KPFA, Pacifica Radio, were being locked out of their own station by the station management. And it was a really bad situation because suddenly there was no free speech on the radio at all in Berkeley. So at that time, Free Radio Berkeley and the folks from Berkeley Liberation Radio decided, well, we have to do something. So one of the things was a micro station, a little 5-watt station, which operated right outside of KPFA headquarters, and they called it KPFA in Exile, which was picked up by somebody who relayed it over the Internet, who was in range of that 5-watt signal. And then the other thing that happened is, a lot of us who were associated with Free Radio Berkeley decided that we wanted to get back on the air. So we started up what we called Berkeley Liberation Radio in August of 1999. And we've had a pretty good run since then. There was one FCC raid and confiscation of our equipment, which happened in December of 2002. And that shut us down for about 4 days. But other than that, we've been going 24/7.
Okay, so sounds like the involvement with the FCC just keeps going on one way or another. Before we go on, tell people what they can do if there's anybody out there in the Oakland-Berkeley area who knows of a space that the station could use for broadcasting. How can they contact you, and what kind of help can you use?
Okay, yeah, right now what we need is we need about a 10 by 10 foot room with access to the roof of the building so we could put our antenna up, and we'd like a commercial space, and preferably one where people wouldn't mind, you know, like I said, 30 to 40 people coming in at all hours of the day and night and talking loud and playing weird music. So, I mean, you know, somebody would have to be fair game for, you know, a somewhat raucous atmosphere. And we'd really like to find some landlord who has a grudge against the federal government, because those are the kind of people we want to rent from. So if you know anybody who might be willing to rent space to Berkeley Liberation Radio, here's how you contact us. First of all, the email, you can send an email to berklibradio@juno.com. That's one word, berklibradio@juno.com. Or you can snail mail, you can send anything to Berkeley Liberation Radio. The address is PMB 2000, 2140 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94704. And our studio line, call this line. If nobody's there, please leave a message. It's area code 510-595-0190. And I'll repeat all this contact information one more time for you. The email is burklibradio@juno.com. The mailing address is PMB 2000, 2140 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94704. And the studio line is area code 510-595-0190.
Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit about the overall politics of radio and micro radio. It's a really dismal situation with the radio industry. There was activists finally forced a micro radio bill through in 2001, and it really does more to try to keep stations like this one off the air than facilitate anything like that. And when that last move for further FCC deregulation got off to a push in 2003, I believe it was the Future of Music Coalition released a study which said a lot of really horrible things about micro radio and radio, including that they called it a twin bottleneck. There's 10 companies, 10 radio companies, two of them Viacom and Clear Channel, that own about 44% of the radio waves, and the 10 of them own about two-thirds or more of the airwaves. And they interact with five major record companies for 80 to 100% of the music that comes on the radio, similar with the news, if there is even any news on that radio. And even worse than that, when you look at it, they identified 30 different so-called formats of radio, you know, whether it's soft jazz or rock and roll or whatever. And these formats highly overlap as they are, but 28 of those 30 formats are set by those major companies. So that's pretty much why you get just the same horrible stuff over and over again on the airwaves, along with no politics. And then we've got the FCC actually acting like an FBI to make sure to keep everybody off. Not only are there no spaces on the dial to go in, but when stations go in, they're under, you know, they're kind of under heavy surveillance by the FBI and, I mean, the FCC. And what I'm saying is a lot of it's kind of like how an FBI or an intelligence agency would do. So now we've got Berkeley Liberation Radio is still on the air. Santa Cruz's station was raided, and I believe they're still off the air. I think they were raided last fall. San Francisco Liberation Radio in this city was raided in the fall of 2003 after over 10 years of being on the air. They were broadcasting to a more central location in the city and not allowed to broadcast anymore. They go to court, and each step of the way they go to court, the judge dismisses whatever argument they put forth. So two of the stations are off the air of the big ones in the Bay Area, and Berkeley Liberation Radio is trying to stay on the air. So why don't you talk about, you know, the whole situation that listeners face and why stations like that need to be out there.
Okay, well, first of all, let me update you on the Santa Cruz situation, because they are back.
Great.
Folks can reach them on the web at freakradio.org, and there is a unrelated party in the Santa Cruz area who picks up their web stream off the internet and broadcasts it at, I believe they're 101.1 FM in the Santa Cruz area. So anyway, you know, Free Radio Santa Cruz is back, and they are a very brave and determined bunch down there, and nothing's going to stop those guys. We feel the same way here in Berkeley, and that is, you know, we're going to encounter some repression, and it's going to scare off some people. For instance, when our station got raided in December of 2002, You know, granted, you know, technologically, yes, we were back on the air in 4 days, but psychologically, we were dealt a severe blow, because basically any of our volunteers who owned property, any of our volunteers who had children, any of our volunteers who had possible questionable status with the immigration people, anything like that. Those and a lot of other people who are just prone to anxiety, they just disappeared. They just up and quit. And it was not even like they resigned. It's just they never came around again. So, you know, psychologically, it was a devastating blow. And it has taken us 3 years to sort of build back our crew and get people that are, you know, willing to take the chance again. But if we get raided again, we'll probably lose a whole bunch of people once again. So even, you know, even if we can manage to stay on the air, there's always this psychological threat of the repression of the federal government. And I would like to say that when William Kennard was chairman of the FCC, he was barraged with thousands of letters from communities all over America, people saying, hey, we want a little community radio station in our area that we, you know, community people can control. You know, we're sick and tired of these voice, you know, voice channel stations like Kiss FM, where there's nothing regional or local about it at all. It comes out of San Antonio. It's a, you know, a prepackaged product, and we can't relate to it because it has nothing to do with us. And, you know, please won't you give us a license to put a little low-power FM station on the air for our community? And so, you know, all these people were writing in, and finally Kennard came up with, they called it the low-power FM or LPFM scheme, and they had, you know, a plan for 10-watt stations and a plan for 100-watt stations, which are really pretty pitiful, you know, compared to the, you know, half million watts that some of the commercial operations put out. But, I mean, it was a chance, and it was sort of in line with the whole micropower ethic that says that there is no spectrum scarcity. The radio dial belongs, and the airwaves belong to the American people. They don't belong to the mega corporations. And it is the FCC's job to protect the airwaves for the American people, not to auction them off to the highest bidder and the richest company or conglomerate. So anyway, you know, when we heard about the LPFM plan, we were pretty excited, and I can even remember a DJ in the year 2000 who got on the mic and said, woohoo, we're legal now, pirate radio is legal, you know, and this is somebody who had, like, read the large print but not read the small print. And basically the small print said, you know, if you've ever violated FCC regulations in the past, you are automatically disqualified. If you live in an urban area, you have no chance of getting one of these LPFM licenses. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's going to be thousands of evangelicals and religious broadcasters submitting, you know, thousands and thousands of applications in every community across America. And, you know, good luck, folks. So, you know, basically, the whole micro radio community was split exactly in half. And half of the community was like, well, you know, we need to clean up our act and stop being pirates, and we need to comply with this LPFM scheme and, you know, make nice with the FCC. And the other half of the community was saying, you fools, you can't trust the FCC, you can't trust the federal government, they're going to screw you. And so, anyway, our community was split right in half. And, you know, maybe that was their desired result. But anyway, we've found out that the whole LPFM scheme was really a lie, and it has not empowered very many communities in America. And, you know, certainly folks who live in urban areas are not going to see any LPFM station come on board. So that's why we do what we do, is because we have no choice.
Right. And I'll just conclude by saying that even when those licenses are given out, they can be taken away, and they're the FCC tries to say that they're not doing any of this for political reasons, just licensing reasons. But one of the people from San Francisco Liberation Radio, during their trial, I think there's a thing called discovery. And amongst the things that the FCC was doing while that station went was transcribing certain shows word by word, besides all the rest they're doing. So it's obvious that they want to micromanage the content of the radio the same way as a Corporation for Public Broadcasting micromanages the NPR stations or whatever. So good work. Keep it up. Before you go, just give your contact information one more time and then let us know how Captain Fred's World Cruise is going.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, thank you very much. Captain Fred's World Cruise is currently heard on about 20 micro stations, and you can pick it up online at lover.com, L-U-V-E-R.com. And here's the contact info for Berkeley Liberation Radio. And the whole point of this is we need a space that we can rent. So if somebody's got a commercial space, you know, we need about a 10 by 10 foot room with access to the roof for our little station. So if you can help us out, send an email to berklibradio@juno.com or snail mail.
How is the Juno spelled?
J-U-N-O.
Okay.
Dot com.
Go ahead.
All right. Or snail mail is PMB 2000. That's personal mailbox 2000, 2140 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94704. Or just pick up the phone and give us a ring. Call the studio. If nobody's there, please leave a message. Area code 510-595-0190. And thank you so much, DJ Question Mark, for having me on.
Hang on. We have a question over here from DeGreaser before we go.
Yeah, I just actually wanted to get you to elaborate. You've described what you'd like in a kind of a basic way, you know, that you're going to have access 24 hours a day, kind of raucous and, you know, somewhere distant, maybe an industrial district. But ideally, you'd like to be up higher up a hill, I would expect that if you are expecting that the transmitter may cause grief within a block or so, ideally an industrial district without, say, a taxi cab dispatch, no delivery drivers, particularly in that area that would be screwed up by the transmissions. Any other, exact features that would make an ideal search?
Well, let's see. Yeah, some elevation would be good. And, in fact, we're even pondering the prospect of making our studio a webcast studio and having our transmitter and antenna at a different site and just pick up the signal off the webcast and rebroadcast it, not unlike the way radio is handled in Seattle or the way Santa Cruz is doing it these days.
Sure, sure. So you could have just a remote site that would not have, you would just have the transmitter only, and that you would then, the actual studio could be miles away from that, and so the landlord, if they had enough beef with the federal government, they wouldn't have any problem with facilitating a lawsuit like the FCC types, ideally the transmission only from some elevated site, ideally up in the hills, huh? And are there any neighborhoods that if you had your dream site, what dream sites, tops of what hills would be best for coverage in Berkeley, Oakland, maybe even getting over here to San Francisco?
Oh, Grizzly Peak.
Okay, so if there's anybody paying attention from Grizzly Peak, what's that phone number again?
510 area code 595-0190.
All right, well, good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, peace.